Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events, sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Hi there. Thanks for being here tonight. This is Kim, and I'm looking forward to our show tonight. One of our other hosts earlier in the week started talking a little bit about depression, and some of the things he said were very thought-provoking, so I wanted to take a little bit off of Matt's discussion on depression, but even more importantly, talk about the solutions. Before that, I want to do just a little bit of housekeeping and tell you guys about an opportunity. The first thing is the housekeeping. If you enjoy these programs, on your program page, up in the upper left, next to the little picture, you'll see a button that says Follow. If you click on that button, you'll be emailed before each one of the Brain Injury Radio programs. So we appreciate that, and if you have a not-so-good memory like me, that's a good thing to do so that you get these reminders. Now, for the opportunity, I've read on some of the Facebook boards that we have, a number of members of our group, actually, who have made neuro-type videos, and I subscribe to Neurology Now magazine, which is free. If you go online to neurologynow.com, you are able to get a free subscription. One of the opportunities that they sent out says, submit your video to the 2013 Neuro Film Festival. As a Neurology Now magazine subscriber, which you will be if you want to do this, again at no cost, you understand the important role research plays in finding cures for brain disease. Help us raise awareness by submitting a short video to neurofilmfestival.com, which I did just put in the chat room for those of you watching, telling your story about why more research is needed. Winners could receive up to $1,000 and a trip to San Diego to see their film shown at the Neuro Film Festival on Friday, March 22nd, 2013. Submit your video. Video entries should be no more than 5 minutes in length and include the phrase, let's put our brains together to cure brain disease, curebraindisease.org. Complete the contest rules. You can read about that online. The deadline to enter your video is January 31st of 2013. Now in its fourth year, the Neuro Film Festival is a contest by the American Brain Foundation, the foundation for the American Academy of Neurology, designed to raise awareness about why more research is needed to find cures for brain diseases such as Alzheimer's, stroke, autism, and Parkinson's disease. Since 2010, nearly 300 videos have been submitted to the Neuro Film Festival, along with thousands of votes cast from the public for their favorite entries. So even the Traumatic Brain Injury Network is looking to raise awareness about traumatic brain injuries. And so films of this nature can also be submitted as to why you think awareness needs to be raised for TBIs. And so, as I said, I've seen on the Facebook communities, both in TBI and the aneurysm boards, that there's a number of people who've made some of these videos and put them on YouTube. And so I thought I would bring this forward. You can maybe win a trip, win $1,000, and help raise that awareness on an even wider scale if you want to submit your video. Okay, 19 million people in the United States suffer from depression. The population, in the TBI population, the number is greater. There might be 4 in 10 in the TBI community that suffer from chronic depression, where there may only be 1 in 10 in our general population. I wanted to talk a little bit about the symptoms of depression, because sometimes when the show was on the other night on Monday, it got me thinking about the difference between just having a case of the blues or being sad, going through normal grief, and the actual state of depression, which is a chemical imbalance in the brain. And many of us have that's been one of our residuals, because in the course of our brain trauma, our chemistry was messed up, and that causes a lot of emotional changes that we discuss on these programs. The other night, our host was talking about some surgery that he has coming up, and he's had a few different surgeries, and he said that he was feeling really depressed about it. But this person, I've noticed, is really very cheerful 9 out of the 10 times that I've heard him. And we've talked on the phone a number of times about the shows and about TBIs, and he's had a very positive outlook overall, and has even commented that, you know, different friends of his will make comments to him about, geez, after all he's been through, how can he be so positive and laid back all the time? And I got to thinking about it the other night, and I wondered, I'm not a doctor, and of course I'll make the disclaimer up front that nothing we talk about on the program has any professional tone to it. Our programs are all survivors, traumatic brain injury survivors, who are telling about our experience, strength, and hope, and problems and struggles that we faced, and tools that we've used that sometimes help, sometimes don't. Everybody is a little bit different. So, you know, always run things by your doctor, but a lot of the things we talk about on my program are things that don't involve chemicals or anything that can hurt you, and I think that your physician would be fine with these things. When it comes to one of the major forms of treating depression, and that's medication and psychotherapy, that would be the venue that the doctors are operating in. One of the things I try to talk about on my show are the things that the doctors don't talk about. And I know that we have some guests, and hopefully a couple of those will call in tonight, that are very interested in doing holistic type approaches and using tools both by a clean diet, yoga, or other regular exercise, meditation, in order to clear the brain and find some calm in the midst of the storm. You know, they use a lot of tools like that, and I'd love to have some calls in to have you share about that. But grief is a normal process, and there's stages of grief that people go through, and that has to do normally with a specific condition, a loss of some kind. Feeling blue, you know, feeling sad, there's a lot of things to feel sad about, the state of the economy. I imagine there's a lot of people listening to the debates going on right now. Politics, there's all kinds of things that a person can feel sad about. But again, depression is a more chronic condition due to a chemical change in the brain. And some of the symptoms of depression can include agitation, restlessness, irritability, becoming withdrawn or isolated, difficulty concentrating, dramatic change in appetite, often with weight gain or weight loss, fatigue and lack of energy, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, feelings of worthlessness, self-hate, and guilt, loss of interest or pleasure in activities that were once enjoyed, thoughts of death or suicide, trouble sleeping, or too much sleeping. Depression can appear as anger and discouragement rather than feelings of sadness. Which brings me over to a manual that I have a copy of, and by request, if you go to my website inaflash.org and hit contact the author, if you're interested in this manual, somebody in one of the communities posted it the other day. It's called The Traumatic Brain Injury Survival Guide by Dr. Glenn Johnson, who is a licensed psychologist and clinical neuropsychologist out of Michigan. And in this manual, he says, anger and depression, people will accept that head injury can change your thoughts and memories, but have difficulty understanding that it also changes your emotions. Your emotions don't exist in some cloud that follows behind your head. They're in your head, just like everything else. Two of the more common changes in emotion are anger and depression. Someone may have been hot-headed or an angry individual before their accident. Since the head injury, this person's anger is multiplied two or three times. For example, a dog may have an accident on the carpet. This might be an angering situation for most people. But following a head injury, the anger is so extreme that the person may want to harm the dog. Now, these are his words, not mine. Anger after a head injury is quite different from quote-unquote normal anger. Anger following a head injury tends to have a quick on and quick off switch. Basically, you can be in a good mood until some small thing irritates you and you suddenly get very angry. But this anger doesn't seem to last. You're angry for a few minutes. Someone changes the topic of conversation and you quickly stop being angry. In another variation of anger problems, some little thing sets you off and then the whole day is ruined. You're not mad, but seem to be in a bad mood. Many people say following a head injury, I cry really easily, sometimes over the dumbest things. This is especially tough for men in our society because men have been taught not to cry. He says, I've had many male patients say to me, I've never cried as an adult. Now I'll watch some silly movie on television and have tears running down my face. Many people begin to feel that they're losing their mind because of this emotional roller coaster. Why is this happening? We know that the middle sections of the brain are pretty primitive. Rage, fear, and sexual feelings all come from very primitive emotional areas of the brain. If you have animals at home, you'll see the same primitive emotions in them. Humans also have primitive systems in the brain that says yes or do it. If you're mad, hit something. If you get hungry, let's eat. Don't wait, do it right now. In contrast, the front part of the brain helps plan and control behavior. The front part of our brain is involved in saying no. For example, your boss says something to you that gets you really mad. Your first impulse is to hit him. The no part of your brain says, don't do that. You're going to be fired. You're going to go to jail. So the frontal lobes and the primitive parts of the brain act like a thermostat and a furnace. If the no part of the system isn't working so well, the primitive functions tend to be more prominent. This change in emotion may cause your family members and friends to start avoiding you. With family members, they're going to learn to walk around you as if on eggshells. If it's your friends, your yelling at them will result in a lot fewer friends. They may be afraid of the changes that they see in you. What can you do to deal with the anger problem? One very helpful approach is the timeout procedure. Before you get to the point where you're going to explode, i.e. throw something, break something, or punch a hole in the wall, you must, all caps, walk away. You have to get away from the thing that's really irritating you. He asks people to walk away for a minimum of 15 minutes. Get out of the house, go for a long walk, but don't stay in the situation that's making you angry. Why 15 minutes? People will say, I'm pretty calm after 5 minutes. But they go right back into the situation and they're instantly angry again. It takes quite a while for your emotional system to calm down. Time out must be at least 15 minutes. The more you do time out, the more you learn to control your feelings or hold back the flood of emotion. It's basically practice, practice, and more practice, just like learning to hit a ball with a bat. The more you try, the more likely you are to get better at it next time. You can't say, okay, I've got the principle on swinging a bat, now I'll go out and play Major League Baseball. You have to keep at it, so practicing timeout is a good thing. One of the problems with timeout is that people don't realize that they're angry until it's too late. For example, he had one patient who was waiting in a checkout lane at a store and there was a little child being a brat, picking things up, throwing them on the ground, yelling, screaming, and basically driving everybody in line crazy. The family member who was with the patient, could see the anger starting to build. The jaw was tightening, the fists were clenching, the feet were tapping. The head injured person didn't recognize the anger. This person finally exploded at the parent and said, "Shut your kid up!" There are cues that anger is building in us, and we've got to learn to pick up on them. It may be tightening in the jaw. It may be clenching in the hands. It may be sweating more or breathing heavily. It depends on the person. He often requests that the family members help with the timeout. In fact, family members are most often the targets of our anger and may be good ones to help us to remember about the timeout. He also has a rule for the timeout procedure. No matter who calls a timeout, whether you feel it's fair or not, you've got to do it. If you're the head injured person and someone calls timeout on you, you have to do the 15-minute timeout, even if you don't think you need it. You may get mad because someone's called a timeout procedure. You still need to do it. Family members, however, have to play fair with the timeout procedure. They can't chase after you with an ongoing argument. That's the no nagging rule. If you're trying to get out of the situation, family members must not run after you and say, "Oh yeah, and here's another thing you do." They've got to do their part by shutting up during your timeout. It helps if you have a signal for a timeout. It might be like the referees in a football game where they make a T with their hands. If it's in a crowd and you don't want to be obvious, you might pull on your earlobe or touch your nose. Whatever the cue that you and your family or loved ones, friends, spouse, use, you've got to do it. The more you practice this technique, the more it works. The first few weeks, it may not seem like it's working, but it will if you keep at it and work at it over time. So that's one person's answer about anger and depression, and I think he raises some valid points. The timeout is something that before I even read this, I recognized the fact what he was talking about, and that's that sometimes I'll get angry or depressed. Those emotions, since my brain injury, will sneak up on me, and I won't realize how intensely I'm being affected immediately. and I'll make some missteps. Maybe bark at my spouse or yell at the dog or be a little terse to someone in the checkout counter or my waiter or waitress. And it's during those times, one of the things that I have to do is promptly apologize and admit I'm wrong. But one of the other things that I've learned is if you continue to do the same behavior, the words of the apology become very hollow, and nobody trusts or believes in our apology if we don't change our behavior to the extent that we're not apologizing for the same thing time and time and time again. So while my ruptured brain aneurysm and the fact that it bled in my brain for almost 5 days before I had my open brain surgery, my craniotomy, that changed the way the chemistry in my brain works. It changed the way my feelings cycle. But I can't use that as an excuse, at least not for long, and have any credibility or friends. I have to become aware that some of these, I'll call them character defects, because we're going to talk about Emotions Anonymous in a few minutes. That's one of many tools we'll talk about on these programs, is that I do have to become aware I have these behaviors, accept that this is something I need to take responsibility for, and then be prepared to take action that's going to, 9 times out of 10, curb that out-of-line behavior. I do have a caller, so this is a good time for me to take a breath and maybe get a drink. And I would like to welcome area code 509. Who do I have?
You're funny. I was just there. I was a little late. This is Craig. How are you? I love it. You know, I need timeouts daily. I do. And I need them for myself. And I do. I give myself timeouts. It is a refreshing thing when I get myself so worked up, and we all do, we get involved in things and sometimes they don't go our way, I take a little time out and do something that's outside of what I was doing and then go back to whatever I was doing. And most of the time it works pretty good, but sometimes the frustration's still there and I will do another time out until, you know, you can do it, because when you're working against yourself, you never complete nothing. And so those timeouts are invaluable. And if I would have had that with my wife before we got divorced, and I'm serious, I mean, a few timeouts, it might have saved our marriage, because we just went at it for days at a time and never resolved
anything.
And I
agree with you. Yes, and I also lost my first marriage, the one that happened during my brain injury. That marriage didn't work out, and you're right. If I would have had some tools to work with, I might have been able to cope with. I mean, first of all, I don't know about you, but for me, I woke up after being in a coma for 11 days, not knowing what in the hell just happened, for one thing. You know, I was a 35-year-old healthy female. I had had a physical 2 weeks before. I was feeling great until the moment I was struck. And when I woke up, it was like, what on earth happened? I knew my head hurt really bad, but, you know, it took a minute for me to even figure out what happened. And one of the things I talk about in my book is I was very limited on visitors. And at a point, a couple that I knew, supposed friends of mine, snuck past. A nurse must have had her back turned. My mom must have run to the bathroom. It was just in the split second these people happened to slip into my room. And she gasped, and they had this look of horror on their face. And, of course, no one had shown me what I look like yet. Everyone had avoided it, and apparently I was too out of it to really catch on, you know. And they had this look of horror, and the gal says, "Have you seen yourself?" And I said, "No, why?" And she fiddled around looking for a mirror and finally got her hand around a compact in her purse and held it up, and I saw what I looked like. And the combination of the shock to my system of looking that much different than what I was used to seeing, you know, being completely not a person I recognized at all tangibly, you know, physically in the mirror. And then as the weeks and the months and the years of recovery started mounting emotionally, you know, it was hard for me to even recognize who I was anymore. I didn't. Pretty soon I started looking pretty normal, you know, when I could cut some bangs and do a comb over, you know, and hide my scar, I could look kind of normal, but it wasn't that easy on my insides. I was very confused about what had happened, what the long-term or short-term ramifications were going to be. And I couldn't even recognize me as an individual. So how was I supposed to function in a relationship with another person, you know, with a spouse, when I didn't even know me? How could I deal with you?
So I have a question for you. How long did it take you before you were ready to have a relationship with somebody? Years, months? I mean, how long did it take you?
Well, from the time that I got divorced, I really did things. People go one of two ways with these things. And one of the ways is it takes a long time because the confidence and the self-esteem are undermined. And other times you go the opposite direction of wanting to be in denial and acting like you don't care. And so your question's a little tricky because it wasn't like I waited after my divorce and just like didn't date for 10 years until I met my second husband. That wasn't the case at all. I went out relatively early. I looked normal and I thought that I could fool people, and I didn't tell them, you know, I didn't tell them the truth. I wasn't honest. And so that's the first thing. One of the acronyms I'd like to talk about recovery is the how of the program and how we all work recovery, and how stands for honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And so while I was having relationships and dating, I wasn't being honest. I wasn't emotionally invested. I might have thought I was, but when you're not being honest and
right,
you're not using some of these tools and you're not working as a team, instead of just surviving as an individual, the question just gets a little more gray than the cut and dry you asked. It took me 10 years to be able to have a relationship to my husband, with my husband Gary now. I would say that this is, and I'm in my early 50s, the most honest, open, and willing on both of our parts relationship that I've had in my life. But I was 28 years old when I had my brain aneurysm, and so the relationships between 28 and age 45, I wasn't being completely honest about what I was dealing with. I really downplayed the aneurysm and tried to act like, you know, the other night you were talking about the world of post-it notes, and it still blows me away. There were so many things that I thought were secret, and they were for me because I wasn't attached to any of you yet. I didn't know other people did this. That's
oh,
why
yeah.
I was so tickled with you. I could have kissed you the other night. It was like, wow, one of those V8 moments where you're so happy. You know, I think a lot of us go through a time where we wonder, and I alluded to it in something that I read, where we wonder if we're crazy, you know, if all of this is, if we're nuts. And when you think about it, doing that, you know, the post-it notes, on one hand, it was a tool to help me remember. But when I'd have them all over the room and then lose the post-it notes that were supposed to be reminding me, the behavior got to be almost compulsive, you know, behavior, trying to get to get memory. In fact, one of the things that I talk about in my book is that early on, and this is in the weeks after I was, a lot of people have been kind enough to send me flowers or cards or stuffed animals to the hospital, to my folks' house where I had to be for a little while before I could go back home. And I grew up that, you know, when people do things like that, you send out thank you notes, right? Well, I had just died, almost died, been in a, had brain surgery, but I wanted to do thank you notes. And I wanted to do them now. That's how bad I wanted to be normal and just turn the clock back and forget that I had a zipper head at the moment. I was feeling like I had to do these thank you notes. And I couldn't write at that time very well. I still can't write very well. But and I would also transpose letters, and I still do that when I'm tired. If I'm writing or typing, I'll start, you know, doing it, and I'll transpose the numbers, or kind of like our Monday host, Matt Duffin. The first time I saw his name in our chat room, what I saw was Muffin, and that's why I called him that. I would never remember his name in 1,000 years, but when I looked at the name in writing, what I saw was Muffin, and that became him. So, you know, it was where those post-it notes were a good tool. And I look at behavior like the thank you notes, where I sat down and I would write it over and over and over. I was relentless with myself, compulsively, cruelly relentless with myself at wanting to write these thank you notes. And I would start making a mistake, you know, the third word in, crumple it up, throw it on the floor. I'd start writing again. It was like I wanted to will myself, you know, back to the ability that I had before. And one of the things, now I'm going to slide in a little bit of step one and talk for just a minute about Emotions Anonymous. But one of the first step in any 12-step program, but in Emotions Anonymous, is that I'm powerless over my emotions and it makes my life unmanageable. Well, in the example of those notes, you know, I was powerless over the fact at that moment that when I couldn't write, that when I was trying to read or write, I was transposing numbers, that I just wasn't up to doing that task at that time. I was powerless over the things that were causing me to not be able to do those things at that time. But because I was relentless, compulsive, willful, and stubborn, and just kept ruining thank you notes, I could have, if I had all the money now on those notes I insisted on screwing up and throwing away, that's unmanageability. You know, that is unmanageability. And so is, well, it's a good thing to have the post-it notes as reminders at a point where I realize I've got 20 post-it notes all over in 20 places of the house and I can't find the post-it notes. And then I get that same angry, willful, stubborn, and ultimately depressed, you know, feeling. And if I dwell in those about the things that I can't do anymore or that I can't do as well anymore or that take so much more time and energy and thought to be able to accomplish anymore, or that I can do it, but I have to do it for a lot shorter time anymore. You know, that's the breeding ground. I say that sometimes the most dangerous place that I can play is alone in the playground of my mind, because, you know, that's a place where, you know, attitude is hatched and my ability to cope is honed. And if I dwell on the negative, the things that I'm powerless over, I mean, at the end of the day where I had to come to with this, and it's not that I don't still have my moments, but But somewhere along the way, it is what it is. I had a ruptured brain aneurysm, and it caused some damage in my brain. I need to make some changes in my life because of it. I need to adapt, and Kevin talks about adapting. And the other night, you were talking about, I liked what you said so well. I think unless I misquoted you, which is possible, put it in my program notes about awareness, acceptance, and action. Were those your three A's?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Good. I thought so because it makes sense. You know, first, as I was in those early months of recovering, I had to become aware. I mean, at first I was all too aware that I wasn't doing things the way that I used to do things, and it made me so angry and depressed, like I was reading about in that book. But I had to come to a place, and Kevin talked about, you know, the suicidal ideation, and I've heard people in the group talk about it. And when when I felt like my life had changed and I wasn't going to be able to go back, you know, sometimes I wasn't thinking about how my life really was. You know, and you can just agree if you feel like it.
I agree.
I'm trying real hard to just I me and not put that projected on everybody else, but crap, and now I forgot what I was going to say because I stopped for a disclaimer.
You know, and listeners understand, they get that.
And I am so grateful for that. Okay, awareness, that was it. I was aware, keep me on those A's. I was aware that I wasn't functioning the way I used to, and if I stayed in that place, you know, I had a way of idealizing how great my life was prior. Well, my life was really darn good, but it wasn't perfect. You know what I mean? There were still things in my life prior to my injury that I could get depressed about, I could get angry about, I could be unhappy with. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is life is a series of peaks and valleys on both sides of this deal. And so someplace along the line, I had to say, okay, you can be angry, and the longer you be angry and depressed, the lonelier you're going to be, because people just don't really get warm fuzzies hanging out with people that they're afraid of, you know, because
right.
They're angry people, or people that drag them down. I call them soul suckers, the people that are negative all the time, or the people that wallow in that depression all the time, and they keep going over and over and over the problem, but seldom talk about a solution or try a solution. They just immediately start shooting things down. I have a few family members, actually, that, you know, they can say something negative, and I can say, well, have you ever thought of, you know, try to be chipper and throw in a suggestion, and they go through all the reasons why that's not a good idea, and then restate their grievance again. And then I say, well, what about da-da-da? And then they'll line list again all the reasons why that isn't going to work for them, and go back to their original grievance. And so, I mean, how fun is that, you know, to be to
right.
be around? You know, not very fun, you know, because it makes you wonder. It just, I got to a point in my process, I guess, where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that was that awareness. The awareness was, okay, I've got to be a big girl about this now. Instead of having the awareness that I'm a little different than I was before and being angry and depressed about it, it is normal to grieve the loss of the old self, whether it's a divorce or a death, you know, of a spouse, a divorce of a spouse, some kind of huge loss in your life, or a traumatic brain injury, you know. It's normal. I guess that's another thing I want to talk about is what's normal and when is it a problem? Well, grief, the process of grief is normal. When we lose something that we value, like our sense of self-confidence, we're going to get that loss. And everybody grieves at a different pace. So you can't say, you know, you get 5 weeks of grief and then you've got to be a happy camper, you know, in the sixth week. It doesn't work that way. We all do it a little different. But, you know, when it becomes a problem, I think is the brain injury we are powerless over, but the way we react to it, we do have some control over. And I don't know a lot of people who have been able to do it alone. Now, when I say alone, I did it alone, separate from other people like me who had brain trauma. I had never met anybody else who had brain trauma until earlier, this time last year was the first time I ever met someone else. So that was 17 years. But I didn't recover alone in complete isolation, or I probably wouldn't be here today. What I did do was when I became aware that I was going to have to do something about myself to be able to pick myself up and brush myself off from this major setback in my life, that my attitude was going to need to be adjusted, I started engaging in a lot of different programs of recovery and going to some churches. When you're desperate, you'll do a lot of things, you know. Life raft thrown. That one of the things that I did was check out a group called Emotions Anonymous. And it was part of the reason was what I read in one of those other passages about the person. I don't think I had ever, I'm even a girl, not a, I don't think I had ever cried at a movie in my life. And shortly after one of my first outings, I got to go to a movie, and it wasn't even a sad movie, and I just burst into tears and was sobbing. And I'm like, what on earth? No, as I'm crying, my mind's going, what are you doing? You know, this isn't even bad. It was like the buttons, the emotion buttons had gotten scrambled or something. You know, the wires were all haywire. I was responding in ways that weren't what I was accustomed to for certain situations, just like this man who wrote the Surviving the Brain Injury, Traumatic Brain Injury Guide is talking about. And so, you know, I went, and I'll read just a little of what they say in the beginning. I know that a few people heard 12-step program in the beginning, and some people were talking about God and religion. And I guess one of the things I'd like to make clear is that I don't necessarily, I think whatever anybody does, whatever tools a person uses that makes them better, helps their attitude, and helps them be happy in life is a good thing. And I don't push any religion, any specific religion, but I personally do believe in God. And there was a time I was very angry at God, and I had words. I think he probably did too. But then there came to be a time where my desperation brought me to my knees, and God was my hard times. And without that relationship, I would have been alone. But the place I had to go to find God, because my mind was so cloudy with my own dilemma that I had so much trash in my brain with all the change and the fear and the shifting of emotions, that the light of the Spirit wasn't able to penetrate the darkness that was coming over my soul from these changes. And so what I needed to do was find God through other people. And what that took was me getting out from under the covers, putting the shade up, suiting up, showing up, getting out of the house, and going to places where I could seek spiritual nourishment and interact with other people. And for me, that meant going to 12-step meetings several varieties of 12-step meetings, because when we really look at our family history or our own history, a lot of us could qualify for a lot of different things. But on this program, I wanted to talk about something we all have and that I've heard all of us struggle with, and that's emotions. So you can't really object to a 12-step program about emotions, because we all got them, you know what I mean? And churches. Some people find their comfort in churches. There was a long time I thought I might be struck by lightning if I walked into one. It had been so long since I had been in one. You know, I didn't know if I was going to get, is that Matt on? I didn't know if I was going to get a, you know, walking in after so long. But I guess one of the things that when I was in a coma and I had my near-death experience, and we'll talk about that in another show, I had no doubt. And I believed in God before, but in a different way after I had a near-death experience, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a power greater than myself that was in charge. Now, do I know why, you know, I had my aneurysm? Do I know why I lived and my dear friend who had never done a drug, smoked a cigarette, had been altruistic, service-oriented, and the best guy on the planet, got diagnosed with cancer and died within 6 weeks? Do I know the answers to the questions that plague me? No. Do I believe there's a God and that there is a grand design? Yes. And I saw proof of that in my experience. And so for me, I can walk into any kind of a church, and there's a saying in the 12-step programs, take what you like and leave the rest. And that means that we go in looking for the similarities, not the differences. And that goes back to that negativity I was talking about a while ago. If we listen to different spiritual leaders or 12-step people, or another tool I'll talk about sometime is called DBT, Dialectic Behavior Therapy. You know, because I didn't find you guys, I've been through a lot of different programs, Craig. So,
I bet. We all have.
Yeah.
We all have been through a lot.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. You know, people are welcome to call in with that. But, you know, because of all of these different programs and different tools, I guess, you know, when I first went in and I had my not as good of an attitude, I was listening to people looking to shoot down what they were saying. You know, I wanted, I don't know if it was the devil's advocate or just being disagreeable or not. You know, I think it was the W part of the how, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I wasn't really willing yet, or I would have been looking for the similarities and not the differences. Because if I walk into whatever it is, an inspirational speaker, a spiritual leader, a 12-step meeting, whatever it is, a survivor group meeting. If I walk in and I listen to somebody talk and I'm just trying to shoot down in my mind what they're saying and figure out why I'm different than that. I'm special. I'm terminally unique. You know, I have things going on in my life that none of you do, you know, that none of you can relate to. Like it's some kind of contest or something, right? Get along
you
with
my... You can win this contest for me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, you know, and people do that. You had that happen to you? Well, I had this happen to me, you know. And it's like, there is really any recovery in that. There's some sport in it. There can be some humor in it, but there's not really any recovery in it, because what I found for me anyway is that when I go into any of these places of recovery, we'll call them, and I hear people and I will get pearls out of it. You know, like the other night, your three words, you know, you spit those out. I've thought about it since then, that sequence, and how it worked in my life of the the awareness, the acceptance, and the action. And I actually thought about that. Now, there was a lot of things that went on whichever show that was. I've been trying to be supportive to all of our hosts. But when you said that the other night, you know, there were probably a million things said in that show, but that's what I took because that's apparently what I needed at the time, because that's the thing that stuck with me. And so that's the thing I've been working with since I heard it. Now, instead, if somebody would have said something I found disagreeable and I would have spent the last few days focusing on that instead, I would be depressed and grouchy, you know. But because I was being solutions-oriented rather than stewing in the problem or the misery loves company kind of a deal, I like to try to go with people who are trudging a spiritual path of recovery where we recognize the universal connectedness and we look for the similarities and take what we can use, and we try not to criticize or judge too much the stuff we can't use. We just let it go, and we don't use it. It's kind of like, well, you guys probably won't relate to this as well as maybe some of the girls, but, you know, so you got a rack of clothes, and you're leafing through the clothes, and, you know, you pick out the things you like, and you try them on, and you buy them, but, you know, the things that you flip past, it's that easy. You just flip past it. You know, you don't sit there and why you hate it. I hate this. I hate the shade of green. I hate the cut. You know, you don't really need to spend any time sitting there and evaluating, judging, or criticizing the dresses you're not going to buy. You just flip past it. Let it go, you know, and move on. You know, move on to that thing that is going to help you. And there have been things that have worked for me. When I went to the 12-step programs, those have always been a staple in my life as far as what I would call a maintenance program for my emotional and my spiritual health. And when my emotional and spiritual health are in check, my physical symptoms seem to be a little better. Going to the other acronym, I guess I'm on A's and H's tonight. I've got your cluster of A's and my H's of the how, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, but then the halt word, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You know, the symptoms that I have, like the memory, the vision problems, even the things he was talking about the anger and depression, I'm going to take things much deeper, feel the emotions much harder and intense. If I'm tired, you know, if I'm too tired or I haven't been eating right or I let too many things pile up, you know, I've got to deal with things as they come up and try to get them off the pile, get them off the pile. You've probably all experienced, you know, like say laundry. You let your laundry go a little too long, and all of a sudden the pile is huge, and it just feels overwhelming. And so you don't deal with it for a while longer because it just seems overwhelming. And so you keep throwing more on, more on, more on. And it just makes that feeling of being overwhelmed and powerless even worse. And so we start chipping away at it. And try to get some relief and not let things build up quite as high. I have a couple other callers here, Craig, so I'm going to leave you unmuted for the moment.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to mute myself so that you don't hear my kids or anything in the background.
Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And if you want to come back, do. Area code 765. Who do we have here?
Hey, Kim, it's Matt. Are you doing okay, sweetie?
How are you doing? You actually inspired me the other night. I thought a lot about the things that you were talking about, and I actually did some reading in some of our material, and I hope you don't get mad. I copycatted a little bit off your topic.
Oh.
More what I was doing was expanding on your topic. I thought you did a really good job of getting us started, and I think that depression is something that all of us have dealt with because we've gone through a traumatic change in our life, and it just seems to come with it.
I got to just imagine that, depression as an inspiration. I never really thought that could happen, but there we go. We made that one, didn't we?
Your depression made me happy now, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just, like I say, I've sat in a lot of different classes, and we have certain different topics, and depression has been one of them. And, we do need to talk about that. That's why I like group settings. We just sit and we talk around about different things. And I don't necessarily like it when the doctors or somebody wants to come in and present and take up our 2 hours of being together. I just kind of like being together.
Yes, I do. Matt, I'm going to see who we have here.
Sure.
At code 803. Who do we have here?
Hello, it's Les Paul. I was just calling in because the subject you were talking about was so important tonight. I've never shared this on the show, but I'm the youngest of five brothers, and I had a family of seven immediate members, counting my parents. And I don't think I've shared this, but there's only two of us left. I've lost three brothers, my mother, my father, my aunts, my uncles. I don't have any of them. And it was tough being a brain injury survivor, watching them all come down with one thing after another, and especially when I thought I was going to die before they did after all the brain injuries. Hmm. And it sometimes I was just amazed, and I was very depressed over that. And my mother came down with cancer right after my brother Phil died with a massive heart attack at 49 years old.
Oh my
and,
God.
And you were talking about depression. I mean, it was all I could handle. I had to handle two funerals 3 months apart.
Oh, I bet.
And
did
I don't
you have
know,
any I practice could, or any training in depression or any...
I didn't go through a 12-step program. I was listening to that. And I'm just saying, I was saying, oh, my God, how am I going to handle this? And I did crash. I mean, I could barely get out of bed. I could barely function for a long time. My girlfriend kept saying, you need to see a counselor, Les. This is too much for you. But I just kept going and kept going. When my mother came down with the cancer, she actually had cancer at the time my brother Phil, that was his name, came in walking in the house one day and says, oh, I love you, Mommy. 6'1", looked the picture of health, left the house and went bowling, and then later ice skating and died of a massive heart attack. Looked the picture of health. And I went into a deep trauma after that. I couldn't function for a long time. I know we don't have much time, though, but, I mean, what you talked about tonight was a very important subject.
Actually, Les, if you want to stay, we've got just a couple of minutes, and I wouldn't mind talking to you a little bit more for our live listeners.
Okay.
The clock, for some reason, I haven't been getting the clock to work in our studio, but it looks to me like there's about maybe 3 minutes left to the show. If we just talk for a few.
Yeah, people couldn't get into the chat room. I have 4 or 5 emails and they couldn't get in tonight.
Oh, all right. Sure, I'll hang around.
I had trouble shutting. I shut it off 2 or 3 different times, and then I got stuck on the debate, and then when I came back from the debate, it was working.
But it always amazed me. My parents and my family, they all thought, poor Les, poor guy. He's been through surgery after surgery, concussion, brain aneurysm, another concussion, pieces of his brain removed. I mean, just all this stuff. And I used to say to myself, I know I'm not going to live that long. And I just don't feel like I have much of a life expectancy. And for some reason, I've kept going all these years. And I watched each and every one of them pass.
Les,
yes.
Stop you for just a minute. I apologize. The lady's telling me we have 90 seconds left. If you guys will stay on, we'll for anybody who is online or wants to listen in the archive, this show will go on. But for the live listeners that we have out there, the show is winding down in the last 60 seconds. I'm going to close the show in the usual way, and then some of us will come back in for discussion. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Again, we have a traumatic... TBI Radio is on every night at 9 o'clock. I'm your Wednesday night host, Kim Justice. I appreciate you all being here. The show is Recovery Now. If you would like to contact me with any questions, concerns, or story ideas, you can go to inaflash.org and contact the author. So,
yeah, it's 7 o'clock Pacific,
directly.
10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock her time.
That's right, 7 Pacific, 9 Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. Now I will close the show in the usual way with something I believe that we all have, and that is a guardian angel. This is by emerging artist Leah West.
God replied, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, it won't be there. There's someone who's been waiting for you, quietly hoping and praying everyone is home. With a guardian angel, on her wings she'll let you soar higher than
okay, rolls us over into overtime. I didn't want to cut you off, Les. I was interested in
what
you were sharing. A horrible, you know, that's something, and I want you to finish your story. I'm just going to say one thing about that, and that is another topic that you've just brought up, and that's that, you know, my thing happened 17 years ago, and I've been dealing with my thing. I've been very blessed that my parents, and all the time I've known them, 50 years, had never even been in the hospital, had any kind of a health condition. And about 6 years ago, my dad, who was a super type A, very athletic, was an A-seated tennis player, did that 4 times a week instead of eating lunch, got Parkinson's.
Oh, wow.
And his disease is progressing. And I not only have that feeling you were talking about a family member, but because it's a brain thing, I think I also have a selfish fear.
What do you mean?
I mean, his mom had Parkinson's, and they say it's not genetic, but... His mom had Parkinson's, and I have a brain aneurysm. It makes me wonder if I might be more susceptible, since even though they say it's not genetic, it appears like it is. But that part is a passing thought. The other part is just watching when.
Selfish in my, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I don't know if that's selfish. It's a concern that, you know, I might have something that's in my bloodline. You just never know. Do you mind if I talk for a minute?
No, please finish with. Oh,
okay,
horrible,
well,
horrible.
I'll tell you some of my. You know, I was the youngest of 5 brothers, and I mean, when I was growing up, I just loved my brothers. We were a real close knit family, and I've got my oldest brother is the only one left, and he's 19 years older than me. And so people think he's my dad when they see me sometimes. But I watched them drop one by one over the years. I could not believe it. My dad was the first one. No, my brother David was the first person to pass when he was 21. And then later, at age 49, my brother Phil, and then my brother Steve of 50, each one from something different. And my mother had to watch each son die, and she just wept like a baby, saying, how could all my sons die like this before I did? A mother's not supposed to watch her children die. And my father had died earlier, and each one of them had something very bad happen to them. And I kept saying, what am I still doing here, all these brain injuries and things? How have I made it? And now I'm, it's just me and my brother Ed and my nephews are all that I have left of what was a giant all-together family. I've got a couple of nephews and one cousin that I know of that lives far off. And when we used to be this really big family, there'd be 15 of us at the table. It's kind of strange around Christmas because I remember we had these giant Christmases and Thanksgivings, and now it's just me and my brother Ed and his wife Mary and sometimes my nephew Rick or my nephew Craig. It's in a strange way, it's not embarrassing, but it's almost embarrassing compared to the size I remember it. And it took me a long time to get over that. When people said, Les, you're sad all the time. You got to do something about this. And my girlfriend would say, Les, you need some counseling. No, I don't need any counseling. I'm all right. Inside, I was hurting, and I did need it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I empathize with you. That is a horrible, tremendous amount of loss, and I will know something about what you mean. I had a large extended family, too, but I'm an only child, and maybe the reason I'm going through all this sadness and working through some of this depression now is that it was my grandparents, and my grandma is still alive at 93, but, dad's got the Parkinson's, and mom, until illness appeared, I never really, my parents always looked young and acted young, and they're aging.
Hey, baby.
All of us age a little faster, I think, when you get sick.
Wow. I'm listening. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. When we get sick and when we have loss, I think that ache.
Well, my girlfriend.
My daughter just showed up, folks. I probably all just bow out and talk to y'all real soon,
Matt,
I'm sure.
The training tomorrow? Can you guys make 15, 20 minutes tomorrow?
What time is that?
At 9:45, it'd be 12:45 your time. It'd be 11:45 Kim's time. 12:45 your time. I sent you a go-to meeting invitation. It came from TBI Survivors Network at gmail.com.
Okay.
And if you guys, I'm taking 15, 20 minutes, for the new people, just kind of go over how they put in the stuff, some of the newer features, and I figure if we do that a couple times a month and get caught up on what's available, we have so many new features you guys don't know about.
Okay, is that already in place now?
Yeah, I sent it out yesterday. So
okay.
All I got to do is click on whatever email you sent me. I just click, and it'll send me right to where I need to go, right?
And you can do it from your phone or your computer, or however you want to do it. But it's best if you can get on the computer because you can actually see my screen as I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow sometime then, I hope to. Have a good evening, fellas.
Ladies.
Good night, Matt.
Great show, Kim.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, and you know there was technical problems, right, Kim, to the show tonight? I don't know why that was, but it never
the volume keeps changing.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I had four or five things. Hey, I can't get into Kim's show. What's going on?
The sound keeps going down and up, and the volume seems to go real tin sounding and then back to normal. I don't know if you've noticed
that.
That's
Skype. She's using Skype. It does that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
really? I didn't notice any.
But it was actually not Kim. It was, I forgot who I was talking about. I lost
Matt.
My memory.
Yeah. It was Matt.
Oh,
yeah,
but he was on the show, too. It was happening.
Actually, it's both of you right now. I just noticed when you both spoke at different times, it went to normal and back and forth, unless my phone has something where I'm on a regular landline.
No, it's probably Blog Talk. It's having some idiosyncrasies, and technology just does every now and then.
It kind of sounds like someone on a walkie-talkie. It does. At times, and then it sounds normal. If you remember what that sounds like.
Does. You're right. Well, I thought, I didn't know what might be going on that nobody came out to play tonight, but I appreciate that Matt came, and Les, I really appreciate that you came, and Craig, I appreciate that you came. It gets kind of lonely in the studio for an hour with nobody else in it.
man. Well, and you had listeners. You had listeners because obviously, you know, they were calling me, emailing me, and saying, "Hey, what's going on? Can you get into the chat?" And so then I tried to get into chat, and I couldn't get into it until the last 10 minutes of the show.
Gosh, I wonder why.
Hmm.
They may be doing an upgrade or something. Yeah, it's their end. It's not anything new.
I was wondering if it's because of the upgrade or something that you've been talking about. I didn't know.
No, I don't think it's that. I think they're probably doing something on, you know, on their end.
Maintenance or something?
Yeah, who knows?
Gee, right.
And I don't
start paying, too.
Yeah. Well, and you see, you guys all have a whole bunch of featured shows. I don't know if you noticed if you went to the thing. So now some of the shows are featured. I try to get every show featured, but they featured 15 of them that will be featured throughout this next month.
Okay.
I don't know what they use for criteria because some of them didn't even have descriptions yet, so I hope they're good shows.
I didn't put a description on mine yesterday. The what if one that I called it because it was so – I'm sorry I had to do that so late, but – I had a ton of things to do yesterday, and I said, I've got to get to the computer as fast as I can. I never got to type in anything. I'm sorry about that.
You know, one of my best shows, listener-wise, it was called The Whatever Show. And,
okay.
I had no clue what I was going to do. I right up to the name of it, so I just, okay, whatever. So it's a whatever show. Man, I had more people call in on that show. You know, and then odd titles are bizarre. You know,
well, maybe we ought to try that more often then, just try to be off
the
cuff.
What's on the heart?
Yeah, my show said, Matt told me that you told him that, Craig, because what I put when I scheduled this show, I wanted to schedule the time, and I just put in show description, more will be revealed. That's been there most of the week, and finally I thought I should declare something. And so that's when I went in and I did a little reading and I typed something into the program description. But before that, all week, all I did was block the time off and put more will be revealed. So maybe next time I'll just leave it at that.
So, yeah, and then I'll announce our two other hosts that are going to be joining us here. You know, taking Saturday, part of Saturday, and Fridays, and working with Rosemore. Rosemore don't think she can handle the studio, but she still wants to do it, so she's going to do it under someone else's show.
Okay.
I'll tell you guys, Empowerment Hour is going to be two Saturdays a month, and that's with Kathy Moeller. She's the inventor of the Brain Book, Bionic Brain. She's a survivor who invented the original fancy sticky notes, and now it's all on iPads. Really, they were fancy sticky notes.
She ran with that.
And then Penny Condell, who is the director of BEST.
Director of what?
Wow.
Brain Injury Support Team. She's like my idol. She's my partner in Washington State. She does the one side of the state. We have the HRSA infrastructure grant. That's how I make my living.
How often will her show be on?
It's going to start November 3rd, and it'll be every other Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And then so I got his name is, unless we'll talk about this, and the guy up in Canada, he's a hoot. We got, look at his name. Victoria, his name's Greg. He wrote a book. He is funny. We had him as a keynote at one of our conferences, and he should be a comedian, not a support group. he is hilarious. Okay, hold on, I'm pulling it up. And you guys probably have heard of him.
The sad part about me is when I'm funny is when I'm not trying to be, and when I'm trying to be, I'm not funny. And that's what people will laugh when I'm not trying to be funny, and they'll say, "You're a comedian." And I say, "I'm sorry, I wasn't meaning to be." Then I try to tell a joke. What do you mean? I don't understand that. I don't understand why I can't do that.
Gosh. Well, Craig, I've got a noon meeting tomorrow, which would be 10 o'clock your time.
Especially the newer hosts, you know, and you know, if you know of any other tricks that we don't know, and I was going to show folks have you seen how I'm starting to reorganize our files? And I was going to explain the madness behind that.
I don't think I have yet.
right, in the studio, like all of our.
Well, you'll look at all of our like bells and whistles, like kind of claws and stuff. They're one dashes, and all of the old archive stuff are going to be Z, you know, and then A if it's an archive thing. You know, if we have our, like little bits, you know, if we get in a jam, I want to talk with everyone. Maybe we could use like you know we'll put some time. If we could use those little interviews to fill time.
Okay, that would be
in the
good.
Future, yeah, and some archiving, and so everything's going to kind of, you know, unless it's immediate stuff that each host is using, that'll be under a name. Otherwise, we'll categorize names in categories that's useful for everyone. Until we come up with a better way, I'm sure there's a better way. So I have to figure out for the time being. Keep
hey,
stuff
Lord.
Cool.
At the top, like a prop.
What
and,
I can try to do is. Yeah, gosh darn it. I forgot again. Every single week I say I want to hit that applause button, and I never remember.
Right, and I have
and then,
I have 10,000 studio effects. And so
10,000? Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, because while Sony donated me, I have, like, the $100,000 software package.
Oh, wow.
So we go to Comcast, and I can't. Publicly use it, but for stuff like this, I can use it. But I have all their effects, or claps, or laughs. It's incredible stuff that I have at my access.
Can you throw a guitar or some reverb or echo or something in there, something like that?
And then you've got to realize my band. I have all of the digital equipment.
I was thinking about that. That's what made me think about saying that.
Wow. Well, that would be really impressive, Craig. Except I can't even remember to use one. So.
I've had it on there for 2 years. I've used it twice, so don't feel bad. And I know it's there.
You've got all those toys to play with and haven't played. You're going to have to go in there and play sometime.
I even have a Boo. And those are I have used the Boo once. That's one of the things I used. I can't remember what it was, one of the shows, somebody's boss. Well, you know, this is for your boss. Have him listen. Boo!
You might need to do that sometime.
Yeah, and I think it's a reminder because they're there to be used. I mean, I would add tons more, but we don't use what we got, which is okay.
Huh.
But if people tell me what they want, what they like, I want to redo all of our banners for our shows so that they're the way everybody likes them because, you know, I want us to look really top-notch as we roll out here. And so I just need a little feedback. And like, Kim, I'm actually working on yours right now, reproportioning it, because originally I made it for the one banner. Now it's going on in this. So when I scrunch it, you lose a lot of weight that way, but it don't look natural. You look like bones.
Oh, no.
I noticed a little bent, but that's okay. I am a little bent, but I liked it other than that. Well, that's good.
I fixed it. I had to re-separate it and re-fix it. And, you know, I want it to look good. I want it to look right.
Well, I must be twisted then, so you have to twist me, I guess. I'm just
playing. Yeah, and yours, I'm working on yours, the Dream Catchers. I'm working on your show page. Because I didn't know what to do for people. You know, I just did something in the beginning until I got a feel for it. You know, I wanted to represent your guys' essence. And until I got to know you a little better, I was in the dark. You know, I might as well have done it for Obama as much as I know about him. I would have showed money or lack
of money.
Well,
one thing I would like on mine, if at all possible, is a dream catcher hanging on it like a Native American.
You have a couple of them.
Okay.
You're going to like what I've got so far in there.
All right.
I think. And you're going to tell me, guys, hey, you know, cool. Don't worry about being critical because I want to get it to where you feel good about it. Hey, yeah, that's me. And,
okay.
And then it'll change. We change in time, so our banners could change. And it'd be nice to have a couple of banners. And I want to get these to you guys, so you guys have the pictures and stuff, so that if you want to use them, you know, however you want to use them, because they're your pictures, and you know, I'm just doing it so that our show goes out looking fancy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was wanting to know, because we talked about that before, about being able to get the picture, so like when I go in to schedule the show, I can upload that picture, so it flashes, you know, Brain Injury Radio, and then Recovery Now, Brain, you know, like that.
Right. Anything you want to take, when you open up the show, click on the little picture and it'll turn into a big picture, right click it and save as. You'll get the exact picture right then and there. So anything that's there, you can do that on, and then I'll send you the whole file. I have about 20 things that I've worked on that you haven't seen because I didn't like them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
he's
that or send me the one site, just one of them that I can upload for the when I'm scheduling the show, because at least I know how to do that, you know. So
right.
If
and, spend and it, do you, either of you guys have Photoshop or Corel?
I think I have Adobe Photoshop, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't.
And
I can make my husband do it.
Right, well, because I can send it to you in layers, because they're in layers. Because, you know, when I the way you, that I send it to you, unless you have the program, you won't be able to separate the layers. But if I send it to you in that format, if you don't have it, you won't be able to see it.
Oh.
So I usually send it as a JPEG or a PNG so that it's usable.
Oh.
But you can't re-break them apart. See, on yours, Kim, there's 63 layers on your on that piece of art.
Wow.
Crap.
Can't you just send me the one that's done?
Yeah, I'll send it that's done. But I mean, but if you ever do get that, and hey, if you want to play around with it, let me know, and I'll send you the file that is at the actual artwork before I turn it into a JPEG.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know,
yeah,
those are some of the things that you're going to miss tomorrow, and then I'll catch you up, and then of course my mad reasoning on the files, and then Linda, who is going to be there, she don't know this yet, but Linda, my assistant, you know, she's lacking a few hours, so I'm going to have her be when I can't be there at night, so we have that person to be our backup of support. To be a voice to call in if we need to, and you know, just a couple times a week, because I went from 14 hours a day to 16, 17 hours a day, and so I do gotta.
Do you find a moment to sleep?
Take a couple of days off. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, and you can tell. You ask the people around me in my life; they know I'm a nut right now. See, I can live with no sleep, but my brain gets going.
Well, like yesterday, how I came in with no title. I've been going 12 and 14 hours a day with things I'm doing, and I've started feeling really fatigued, so I apologize for how I've been doing here the past couple of days. That should end in the next few days.
Well, don't worry about it. We get it. We know what it's like to be overwhelmed all of a sudden.
And I can pinch it for some of those, Craig. I've been trying to come that support.
Yeah, only when you can. Yeah, but we all need breaks, you know, so we do what we can, because we're all here for each other, but we all just need, you know, and I think Linda... So
Craig, we can't let you crash. That's too many hours. That's too many.
Right. Well, and that's normal, but I'm letting things drop through. And the reason I ask you about the dating thing on the show, I actually did what you did for about a month, and then I said, whoa, see, it's getting all serious. It's like, so I said, I need to take a break for a year to find myself. Well, that's 5 years ago.
time for another break.
I made a date with this girl 2 years ago, and we're finally going on it this weekend.
You're kidding.
Funny.
No, she's waited around that long, and
wow.
She must really like you. I can say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no kidding. She's as busy as I am. She has a brain injury too, go figure, and she's in the nursing program, got a little boy, so her life is no less hectic than mine is. And I go, okay, so we're, you know, we talk a lot. We've become really good friends. But it's like, can you imagine if we lived together? Yeah, we see each other in passing, baby, huh?
Wow. Well, fun. That's exciting. Are you nervous?
No, because we've gone, like, when we just hung out, you know, we went to People First Conference. You know, we hang out. We share a room. I mean, we don't sleep together or anything. So I have not gonna cross that line. Just in my own head, because I wasn't ready. I have baggage, and I still do, but I don't. I can at least carry it rather than drag it.
Right. Well, that's good too that you've gotten such a long time to be able to become friends and stuff. So that's neat. Well, that'll be really fun. That's progress.
Yeah, we dated for a month, and she was planning a wedding. Turns to find out he's planning the wedding for when she's going to get it, when be divorced. I didn't even know she was married. It's like, okay, I need a break. I'm not making good decisions here. And that wasn't me. That was her. But yeah, I just couldn't believe it. She wanted to be married the day after her divorce. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
That's the first news I heard about this being married bet.
Hold on, I go down just a little bit.
Yeah, and I was pretty wacky. You know what it's like the first year. And that,
yeah,
that
well, I think you made a wise decision.
Oh, yeah, and she wanted, you know, a dozen kids, and I miss her kids. I don't miss her, but I certainly miss her kids. Yeah, she had two kids, one with autism and another one, I'm not sure what he had, but severe disabilities. And not that that bothers me, because, like I say, I loved her kids, but she wanted 10 more kids. Odds are, you know, two for two, you know.
I don't mean to laugh. That's funny.
They need a lot of time and love, and it's not fair to have a whole bunch.
And you're not ready to build an army, I don't think, from the way it sounds.
I don't even know if I want one more kid. I mean, I love my kids. They're the joy of my life, but... yeah, I don't know that I could do the baby stage again without it killing me.
Yeah. I know, I don't know how old you are, but I know that I crossed a threshold where I was just going to be too old to be fair to a child.
Yeah, if I had a kid now, I would be 60, would be graduating high school. Yeah, I mean, not that that's uncommon, but I don't know. My dad has a 3-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, he's a tired man, too.
Well, he's a... yeah, me and him don't talk. You know, that's another story. Maybe someday I'll share. But, yeah, it's just... yeah, he's had... I think this is his 8th or 9th wife.
Wow.
Yeah, he's never had two kids from the same woman. Oh, no, it's got to be more than... yeah, because I got... I don't even know all my brothers and sisters. I didn't meet my dad until I was 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of history. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. So I'll see you. Hopefully you can make it tomorrow. Left. It's going to be really good. So you can just kind of, we're going to go through
I'll
the panel.
I'll see if I can bring my cell phone and at least
okay.
hear part of it on my way to the meeting.
Save the time.
Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh, load up tonight, go to the meeting, and you can do it right from your cell phone. You can see it.
Okay, I'll see if I know how, but my smartphone is still smarter than me.
Right, well, go to your Fames and type in go to, and to download it free, you know, you sign up, you know, it's free 30 days, but it allows you to access the webinars, and make sure you write down on your computer the ID number to the meeting.
Oh, okay, and you said you emailed that, because I didn't see an email from you.
Yeah, it would have came from my TBI Survivors Network at gmail.com.
If you think about it, can you re-email that? Because I checked my mail at dinner time tonight, and I didn't see anything from you. I might have accidentally deleted it.
Well, let me tell you where I sent it. Yeah, I'm actually going to get us Brain Injury Radio Network emails.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, I was talking to our IT professional where I work today about what you said about looking for an internet provider for the show.
The best, not internet provider, but the best.
Not internet provider. I didn't mean to say internet provider. Say it again. I forgot what you called it.
Right now I use Google Pro, not a cheap service, and it has sucked. The email system, how they stack the emails, sucks. I mean, I love the cloud. I love the built-in websites, like the training stuff that we do in the webinars, but the email sucks. I mean, I drop so many emails because I can't find them. Google email sucks.
Huh.
Well, my friend Sam Creech, the one I spoke about the other night, he has cerebral palsy. He's a genius. He's Microsoft certified just recently in the past year. And the guy runs a computer network for Walton Options where I work. And it's just amazing what he can do with computers. I was telling him about brain injury. I said, you need to be involved with it. You could probably help out with it in some way, shape, or form. He's actually kind of interested. So I was telling him all about it today. And he was telling me he's going to look up and see if there's another way to help.
Yeah, did he say what he thought was the best email?
He said he's going to tell me tomorrow, so he didn't give me the answer.
Okay. Yeah, because
he's the kind of guy that goes in. What'd you say?
What's that, Kim?
We use Cox.
Right, and see, that's great, but see, the cloud... so what I have is, see, on my one server, the brain injury support team, I have 600-700 people that are sharing this, and so we can put our files up there and have access to all of each other's files. that through all the support groups and stuff. So when we get a support group, say you're leading a support group there, you have access to everything that all 600 facilitators or 740 facilitators are using. So you have access to templates, outlines to topics. I mean, it's just a wealth of information, webinars that we've all done. So it's a shared community, and that aspect of it is wonderful. And it's like 2 terabytes of information we have in there. I mean, we're talking most compute laptops. A big hard drive is 400 megabytes. So you're talking almost 200 laptops.
Wow.
Information. Oh. And it's all easily accessible, the documents. We have each other's calendars, so we know what each other's doing. So if we want to, we can, before we even call them, we can find out if they even have that time open. It is a wonderful tool, but when it comes to email, it stacks it, meaning that you don't come up with new email. It attaches to the old red email, and that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so, you know, I'll have to go through hundreds of emails to find this new email. You know, I'm not liking that.
I don't know. That's time.
Your imagination email, one that you were talking about.
And that's even worse. You know, I've got. What is it? 1,300,000 some odd unread emails. And guess what? They're not getting read.
No kidding. You might as well just hit a great big delete.
Well, the only reason I do leave that is that you can't bulk delete them. And that's the problem that I'm saying. If you bulk delete the trash and the spam, you can't bulk delete the in. You have to do 25 at a time.
Wow.
And get, you know, and I don't know, I haven't calculated 25 at a time. Last year, it took me 3 hours to get them. They can do it for you, but it's a pain in the butt to get them to do it for you.
Amazing.
It is.
Well, I better shut off.
So,
that.
Kim, I sent it to kimjustice16@gmail.com.
Oh, that's why. Okay. I'll go. I did the dumbest thing in the very beginning when I signed up for Blog Talk Radio, never knowing that all of this was going to happen. I did it late one night on my iPad sitting in the living room. And my iPad, I really only look at a couple times a week at the email on that. My main computer, the one that I look at 3 times a day back in my office, doesn't have that email on it. So chances are I probably got your first one too. I just haven't looked at my email on my iPad.
Okay, let me make sure I have your other one in there. I don't even know if I have your other one. See, because see, you may have sent it to Imagination Man, and I would never know. And you know, it's probably stored just fine and dandy in there. Let's see.
Well, I changed yours. Remember that one day? I changed yours while I had you on the telephone. So I've got the right one now, Brain Injury Team, whatever. I've got your right email, but the email that you can find me at all the time is 2SweetK. The number 2, the word sweet, W-E. 2SweetK.
Hold on. My computer freezes.
That's okay.
Yeah, I've seen that before. So,
that's the one.
So
you
can find. See, the problem is this is linked to our Blog Talk Radio. It's going to what they show.
I know. I'll look on my iPad. I'm glad you said that because that.
Why don't you forward it? If you don't get a lot, you know, you can forward the Gmail to go to your 2Suite too.
I can't.
Yeah. So when you have time, I'm going to show you some of that stuff. Yeah, because Google is really a great product, except for if you start getting, you know, their and it's $500 a year we pay for the service, so it's not a cheap service, and to not be able to find your emails is not a
that's
good
crazy.
Email.
I know. Yeah.
And I'm talking to this guy,
Matt. I thought I was stuck with the email that I got onto Blog Talk Radio with in the beginning. I thought I'd have to open up a new account to have a different.
Oh, no, you can change it. I can show you how to change it in there too.
Oh, good. All right, good. Because I never look at the email on my iPad.
Right, and so I now have a mental note on that. So when I switch in between, I'll have to import your email from the other account. So
I don't have the email.
And the reason I'm using this email for us is the TBI Survivor. I'm just going to use this for this and the board. It's because I'm losing emails. There's, you know, I don't get a lot. I probably only get, you know, 500 a week on my Google one, you know, but it's all important things. And when they stack, I don't find them, you know, and I was like,
oh, wow.
You know, one important thing, you know, could make, you know, I have a hard enough time looking like I know what I'm doing.
I know
what you mean.
You know, and but anyway, I'm going to let you guys go, and you have a great night. And if you can make it, Kimmy, I just download that program tonight because I know it takes about, you know, 5-10 minutes for it to download and work on iPhone. And I'm looking to get me an iPhone so that, and you can even do the Blog Talk Radio from your iPhone. You can host the show from it.
Wow. Well, I could also take my iPad with me in the car tomorrow. It'd even be bigger. I'll go in there and fool around with that now. I mean, I think if I do it to my iPad, it goes on my iPhone, too.
Yeah, and it's gotomeetings.com is where you want to go to download it.
Well, Craig.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I hate to interrupt. I know you're about ready to go. I forgot what time you said, and I wrote everything down but the time, and I don't have the email either.
Oh, and you need that link. Yeah, you need to click on that link to see my screen. If you can't see the screen, that you know, to be on there visually or voice tomorrow, you won't get anything out of it. Let me see. I just lost my mouse. So I sent it to. Let me send it. What I'm going to do is
I've got my email open.
Okay, so I'm going to just resend. It came from TBISurvivorsNetwork@gmail.com.
And that actually works out good, Craig, because I'll just take my iPad with me. That means the email is in my iPad. I'll just do it from that. Now that I know where it's at, it's even better than on my big computer since I can't carry that one with me. This time it works out. This time it works out good. Okay.
And so what I'm doing is let me tell you where I sent it the last. And
okay.
Yeah. Let me see. We're keeping Kim up. She's got the show. I sent it. Let's see. See some of these guys. I sent it to my
comet patrol@bellsouth.net. Okay, that's the right one. It's not there yet, though.
No, I sent it the other day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I sent it on October 2nd, yesterday. So,
okay, well, maybe I've got several emails, so maybe it's behind there.
And it's coming, it should say from Craig Cecilia at TBISurvivorsNetwork@gmail.com.
I'm looking right now.
And you said you just sent it again, right, Craig?
Yeah,
or
I am.
You found the one that you sent?
Yeah, I am. So
Craig,
I'm in the
Cecilia GoToMeeting.
Yep, the GoToMeeting. Yeah, and you need to click on that link. Right, you need to click on that link, and I'll send it again. Well, and Kim, if you're bringing that and you have access to that email, do you get a lot of emails on there?
No, not on my iPad. It'll be there.
Okay.
It'll be there. I just haven't looked. Until you told me the address, I don't think in terms of the email on my iPad because I, like, hardly ever use it, but I did happen to sign up for Blog Talk Radio on that, and so that means that the message you sent me is there. It was just in the mailbox. I never checked. But it works out good because it's in my iPad. And so all I'll have to do is carry my iPad and I can listen while I'm driving.
Awesome. Yeah. And you can listen. But hopefully you can. Oh, you're going by yourself. So I'm going to try to record it, too, because I can record the show, and then you guys can watch it later. So, of course, you won't.
That'd
you can ask
good.
Questions
I just
live.
I happen to have a meeting at noon, so I'll be at 11:45, I'll be driving to it.
Absolutely. And so, awesome. I totally get it, and so I will record it. I just got to make sure everybody's okay with it, and I can send you the video of the meeting.
Oh, that's cool.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I'll have to, I do a lot of go-tos because we can trade each other's screens and we can see what they're doing or what they're doing. Like if somebody's having a problem, I can actually, I give them the screen and I can look at what they're doing and tell them what they're doing wrong or show them what I'm doing so they can see what I'm doing wrong or doing right or whatever.
Okay.
That's a valuable tool.
Yeah,
I was watching the screen being maneuvered today.
Tonight.
I guess that was you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Les has been on a couple go-tos. I mean, it's an incredible technology. And if we go to Talk Fusion, which I'm hoping, I have a meeting with him Friday, we will have the most elite communications system in the world.
Uh-oh. You're just a nonstop go-getter. I appreciate you, boy.
Yeah, me too. That's great.
Well, we get just technology is where it's at. I mean, we don't have anything to offer that anyone else don't, except that we're putting ourselves out there. But you know what? We're teaching people to do that. Pretty soon there's going to be a million of us. And what a great world it'll be.
All right.
That's for sure. All right, boys. Well, you have a
good night.
Night.
You guys have a great night.
Connect our show and in the episode.
And you.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
With a VSP individual vision plan, you're the one pulling the strings. Because taking care of your eye health after retirement comes with a lot of decisions that only you should make, like choosing how to save on the lens enhancements you need, the right name brand frames for your style, and choosing your eye doctor from the nation's largest independent doctor network. Even how you enroll is up to you. Make the best decisions for your vision at the eye doctor's office, retail locations, and online with VSP individual vision plans.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.